evening, everyone. Good to see you tonight. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this evening as people are still filing in. So we're going to start off with praise. We're going to praise the Lord this evening. And so I just want to invite you just to come into the presence of Jesus and just let him minister to him, to you. You minister to him. Let him minister to you. Cast off all the burdens and just allow the Lord just to love on you tonight and speak to you and reveal himself to you. So let's just stand and let's just get our hearts prepared. Father, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to come in your presence. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us tonight. And God, that as we minister, Lord, in worship and we worship you, we ask you to just let your presence fall. Lord, we want you, Father God. We're not after anything else but you. And Lord, we just want you to come and just fill us, Lord, with your presence. God, we give you glory, honor, and thanks. Bless our praise tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord.
Water gets turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, he's awesome in power. Our God, yeah. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, yeah, oh. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? Then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, sing it out. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, he's awesome in power. Our God,
thank you, Jesus.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against us?
Jesus.
And we belong to you, Father. Love has come. And we're orphans no longer, brought into your light and freedom by the blood and the mercy of Jesus. It's rising, the song of hope from us sets free. It's rising. It's rising, it's rising up. Hallelujah to you, God of the redeemed. Hallelujah, you've opened blinded eyes to see. We will praise you.
We belong to you, Father.
We belong to you, Father. We're living for your glory and honor here on earth. Just as in heaven, we usher in the reign of your kingdom. It's rising, the song of hope from us sets free. It's rising, it's rising, it's rising up. Hallelujah to you, God of the redeemed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, you've opened blinds.
to you, God of the redeemed. To you, God of the redeemed. Jesus. He's so worthy. He's so worthy. Grace, you've shown me grace, lifted my shame, and drawn me with loving kindness. You washed whiter than snow, and you have redeemed and made me whole. Sing that again. Sing grace. In grace, you shown me grace. You lifted my shame and drawn me with loving kindness. You washed whiter than snow. You have redeemed and made me whole. Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Sing, Jesus, you have won me. Oh, Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. You show me love, and love, you show me love. By leaving your throne, by bleeding and dying on that cross, that wonderful cross that took all my guilt and sin away. Yeah, Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Jesus, 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 you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. Triumphed over death, and you are worthy.
worthy of glory and praise. Sing to Jesus tonight. Jesus, you have won me. You have broken every chain with love and mercy. You have triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise. Of glory. Sing this with me. There's nothing worth more.
There's nothing worth more that'll ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your presence, Lord, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are well. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory. become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, God, is all we need. It's all we need.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, Pastor Bob and I have been talking about this a little bit this week, but I just felt impressed to read this to you. It's out of Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 7. And Jesus said, "And when you pray, when you seek God, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows," everybody say Father, "the Father knows. The Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him." And so Jesus said, because of that knowledge and because of the trust we have in God and in His heart, He said, "Therefore, in this manner, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And then He said, when it comes to approaching our needs with God, we pray this way: "Your kingdom come." Everybody say, "Your kingdom come." Yes, yes. "And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's how God taught us to pray. And you know, I know that a lot of times we just feel like we need to talk God into something or tell Him how to do something. But really, Jesus made it so plain to us. He said, we pray when we approach Him. We just need to pray, "Lord, your kingdom," what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. "Lord, your kingdom be established. And Lord, your will be done." Your will be done. And so tonight, we're just going to take a little time in different scenarios, I believe, just to pray that. And the first thing that I want to do is I want to pray it over people here in the house tonight, that if you're here and you've got something, you've just been struggling lately, you don't know why. Some of you may know why, but you may not. But you just really been struggling. If you're here and you say, "That's me, and I would like to just pray and just submit this thing to God," then I just want you to come on down here. If you're here and you just say, "Man, I am just struggling," you may know why you are. You may not know why you are. Okay? okay? It just doesn't, that really doesn't matter as to whether you know the reason or whether you don't at this point in time. All right. You know, the beautiful thing about it is God knows all about it, right? He said, I know what you have need of before you even ask me. And so tonight, so that we don't ask amiss in any way, all of us here in this room, we're just going to pray over this situation, over our own lives. Your kingdom come. Lord, I belong to you. You bought me. You love me. You've proven that. And I'm just going to pray your will over my life in this situation. Those of you that are out there, you can stand. You can, if you feel like you want to sit down, you're welcome to. Or you can come down and pray for somebody. But we're just going to pray. Stay in an attitude of prayer there. All right. Let's just begin to pray. Father, I want to thank you. Lord, I don't know enough to ask you what to do or to tell you what to do in this situation. But God, I just declare over me and over my life, your kingdom be established. I pray it over my children. I pray it over my husband. I pray it over my family. I pray it over myself. And I just declare, Lord, your kingdom be established. Let's establish the kingdom of God in our family and in our life. Father, we just put our feet down, and right now we say there's nothing but the kingdom of God is going to happen in my life. That's what's going to be manifest in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, and I just speak over Curtis, your kingdom. Your kingdom rule and reign. Your kingdom, Lord Jesus. No other kingdom other than the kingdom of God is going to reign over Curtis's life. Father, we declare that. And Lord, we establish it by our own agreement. And Lord, through our agreement with your will, then we release the power of the kingdom. We release the power of the kingdom into Holly and Curtis in the name of Jesus. The power of the kingdom. The anointing that breaks every yoke. The anointing that breaks the yoke in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you that you're everything that they need when they need it. And God, I come into agreement, Lord, that you are their shepherd. Lord, I thank you that you're leading them and guiding them into green pastures and beside still waters. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that the only things that are being shaved away, Lord God, are the things, Father God, that they don't really need in their life. And Lord Jesus, that you are standing up at the center of their life, saying, I am all that you need in Jesus' name. Father, we declare it. We make our stand in Jesus Christ today. Father, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against us is going to prosper in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. Your will be done. Your will be done. I thank you, Lord, that you're bought with the blood. You're bought with a price. In the name of Jesus, we declare the establishment of the kingdom of God. We call that thing, those things that are not, as though they are. And we declare it in Jesus' name, because in the Spirit it's real. The Word of God rules over this situation in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. Father, over Barbara, I thank you, Lord. I declare the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against her is going to prosper. Father, we cast off every care. Lord, I throw away every care that I have in the name of Jesus today. Father, I thank you. I break this from my sister in Jesus' name. I speak over you, Barbara, and I come into agreement with you that joy, joy, joy is going to flow over you like a river in Jesus' name. I speak reawakening to your joy in the name of Jesus, for the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. In the Holy Ghost, I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Your will be done. Your will be done. Father, I thank you for revelation and clarity of mind in the name of Jesus. Just as it is in heaven, I thank you, Lord. We just speak clear, clarity, 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 and strength in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. Now, one of the things that the enemy doesn't want to see you do is make that declaration over your family. You know, one thing that I'm learning is the enemy will lead us a lot of ways in prayer. But one thing he doesn't want to do is hear us say, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. All right? So whenever you're thinking about your life and what's going on with you, I want you just to say, I'm yours, Lord. Your kingdom be established in my life. Your will be done. And you know what? Just make your stand right there. You don't have to struggle, but just make your stand. Say, this is what I declare in Jesus' name. Nothing else is going to happen. And then you don't worry about it. And you don't feel under pressure to try to live up to something. You just say it in Jesus' name. And then let's believe that it's not by might or by power, but by the Spirit of the living God that changes come and occur. And we're just going to come in agreement with Him. Your will be done. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Can we make that agreement? That's what we'll do? All right, that's what we're going to do. I want to pray too. Jordan Jaton's in here. I want to pray for his father who's going through a health situation. Anybody else have you yourself or somebody in your family is going through a health situation? Okay. We're going to come into agreement right now that God's really going to minister to either you or the person that you're believing for. Okay. Let's just do that right now and let's just declare the will of God over our loved ones. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare the kingdom of God to come and be established. Lord, we declare that your healing and your deliverance and your peace and your strength and your anointing over our lives, we declare it in the name of Jesus. Father, I don't have any fear about any name because I know the greatest name. I declare the greater name. I don't fear the name cancer. I don't fear any other name, Father God, because I know the greatest name. And that's the name of Jesus. And we declare it over us and over our family member in the name of Jesus. And Father, I know that over me, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper in Jesus' name. And over my loved one. And I declare your will be done. Let's just pray it out there. Your will be done. Your will, we're not begging, we're agreeing. Lord, your will be done. We don't have to convince God to do his will. We just have to agree. Father, your will be done in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. We declare it on this earth where we live, just as it is in heaven. Now just let the Lord minister to you about it for just a second. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for it, Lord. Your kingdom. I'm experiencing your kingdom. I'm right in the middle of your will. I declare it in Jesus' name. I'm in the middle of your will. I'm experiencing your kingdom. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord.
I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. And I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. Sing it out.
Down vain imaginings and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. There are thoughts that continually try to come into our minds that are just imaginations, vain imaginings, things that the enemy wants you to believe, but they're contrary to the Word of God and to the will of God in your life. You have to stand against those things. You can't play with them. They're not to be toyed with. Because if the enemy can get a foothold, if you just entertain those things just a little bit, the enemy loves to come in like a flood. He loves to do that. So right now, I just want to pull down those thoughts, those vain imaginings, those things that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, that He loves us, that He's for us. This week we had an experience with someone, and she just said she felt like God was standing there telling her, you need to do this and you need to do that. And when it came down to it, it wasn't God at all. It was just the enemy trying to confuse her. And I think a lot of us are tormented in the night. You know, you wake up and you have those tormenting thoughts. What if? You know, any train of thought that starts with what if is usually a dangerous train. That's a train you don't want to ride. You don't want to get on that train. Because that what if, before you know it, has you into cancer and dead and your family's apart, and you know, it's horrible. And the enemy loves to torment us. He is the tormentor. I don't know if any of you have read the book 23 Minutes in Hell, but it's a really interesting book because pain and torment were actual beings in hell. You know, here, pain and torment are kind of just ethereal or emotional or just something that we feel, but they're actual beings. And in that book, he actually saw pain and he saw torment, and they were just horrid, and they loved to just come against the people of God and just to cause them confusion and cause them not to have any peace. You know, Jesus is our shalom, our peace. He is the peace of God. He's the Prince of Peace. And that's what we have to hang on to, is the Prince of Peace. So when the enemy tries to come at you with those what ifs, that pain and that torment, you have authority there. And you tell them, no, in Jesus' name, the Prince of Peace is who I'm listening to. The Word of God is what I'm speaking. Just begin to, if you pray in your spirit, just begin to pray in your spirit out loud. Fight spirit with spirit, okay? Because those are spirits that try to come against us. So fight in the spirit realm. And if you don't, use the Word of God. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, okay? And it's called a sword for a reason. It's not meant to put up on a mantle and look at and say, oh, isn't that pretty? The sword is to fight with. It's what you use to fight with. So you use that Word of God and you say, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. You say that my children are children of the King, the Most High God, that we're the head and not the tail, that we're above only and not beneath, that my bills are paid because my Jehovah Jireh is my provider and He's going to take care of me. And, you know, just like Daniel said, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, but even if He doesn't, I will still worship Him. I will still worship the King, because this life is not all there is. We love not this life even unto death, because this isn't the final say. This isn't the final thing that's going to happen. The finality has already been done. It was done on the cross 2,000 years ago, and that was the final word. So it's already been done, and we've just got to stand on it, and we're not going to move off of it. We're going to stay with it, and we're going to finish the course. We're going to finish strong, and we're going to stand against those vain imaginings. So right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, we just thank You that we have the mind of Christ. We thank You that the enemy cannot come in with those tormenting thoughts or with that pain and agony. Father, I thank You. And we pull down any vain imaginings and anything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. The that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we are his children, and he loves us, and it's all working together for our good, and he's our peace, and he's our provider, and he's our shield, and he goes in front of us and behind us at the same time, and no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. We thank you, Father God. We cover our minds in the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we have the helmet of salvation that covers our minds. That salvation covers us and says, you know what? You're my kid. You're my kid. You're the King's kid. And because we are royalty, we are protected. We are protected by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and that we love not this life, even unto death. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You know, I've learned over the years that most problems are solved by through two avenues. Knowing God, getting a revelation of him, and agreeing with him. You know, Pastor Roy has a saying, it's not really a saying, but he has a little way of teaching something where he says, you know, he said a lot of times God is going to change a situation that you're in, but maybe he's not looking to just change the situation immediately. Maybe he's looking to change you. And a lot of times that's what God's looking for in the situation. He said, God, if you really know God and you believe the things that you read about God and that he is good and he is loving, then you can pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, without any problem. Because even when you're going through a terrible, terrible situation, you can say, I know my God. And I know who he is. And so therefore it's easy for me. It's easier, even in the midst of all this pain, for just say, Lord, I put my life in your hands. That's what she was talking about with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's basically what they did. They said, look, God is a powerful God, and we believe he's going to save us out of this torment. He said, but look, be it known to you, even if he doesn't, we're not going to change our stand, because we know our God and we know who he is. And we're going to, you know, we would rather burn than change our confession of who, than be false to who our God is. And, you know, God will change us a lot of times before situations and circumstances change. Sometimes we think circumstances need to change, and that's not really the change that needs to come. The change needs to come in us. And you know, we need to have the lordship of Jesus in our life, where we come into agreement with him. I think as Christians, that's where most of us run into problems, is we say we believe the word, but when the rubber meets the road and pain comes, or distress comes, or God doesn't act in the way we thought he should act, or he's taking longer than we thought he should take, then we start getting into agreement with ungodly thoughts. We do what Dale Gentry used to say, we start getting into stinking thinking. You know, we just get into thinking and belief that's not in agreement with the Lord. And I used to do that real bad. And so, you know, I, still as a human, every day you have to fight that. But, you know, I've learned a long time ago that God's not going to attend my pity party. He's there, but he's not going to move just because I get into pity, self-pity, and start crying and moaning. And, you know, so many of us are so used to manipulating other people through our terrible pity and our self-hatred of our situations, but God's not moved by those things. And you know, he's moved by you believing his word. And I'm not an aimless confessional person. I'm not that. I hate all that rabbiting stuff where you walk around and just rabbit something. You know what I mean? You just repeat it. It's like somebody hit a tape recorder. It's just going off. But when you get to the place to where you really know who God is, let's go back to the rabbit confession. I mean, because if you're just going to rabbit confession things, God will let things hold for a while until you really get tested that you believe the rabbit confession. Okay? Because it's all about changing your heart and changing you. But if we get to the place, I mean, a lot of people don't want to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," Brother Bob. That's why a lot of people don't pray it. They don't want to, because they have a will and they have a desire about something and they don't trust God. "Well, God, you may kill my child. You may cripple my child. You may do all this kind of stuff. If I pray, your kingdom come, your will be done." And brothers and sisters, when we're running with all those kind of fears, that means we don't know our God. And that's why we don't pray that type of thing. But Jesus told us, he said, that's the prayer. The heart of that prayer is the prayer I respond, that God responds to, the Father responds to. We were talking the other day. Man, we were in a great move of God in the 80s. God was really doing some things. And we were sitting down thinking, you know, the only difference in the church we were in and the other churches around, there was one difference and one difference only. We were praying, "Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done." We meant it and didn't stop. Didn't move off of it. We worshiped the same way everybody else did. We preached. We did all of those type of things. We prayed, but we stuck to that. We believed that prayer. We caught a hold of it, and we stuck to it. And, you know, I just think God's calling us as a people to a new level of maturity in Him, where we're able to say, "I don't want my own will." I told Brother Bob the other day, I don't trust my own desire and my own will. I don't. And I'm not putting me down. I'm not saying I'm, you know, when I say that, that's not a statement of self-hatred. I just know that our own will and our own desire can get convoluted. And so, yeah, you know, you pray, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done over my children," and it seems like nothing changes sometimes. And so you decide, "Well, I need to change my prayer. Maybe God will move if I start telling Him how to do this thing. Or if I get in self-pity and start crying, or if I just do something else." But you know what? You need to stay right there, right on that. Pastor Bob, do you have something you want to say about that? You were up on the edge of your chair. I mean,
I have to say, I think I saw more miracles during that time than I've ever seen in church.
In church, yeah. In a church.
Just miracles. Didn't call people forward to pray for them. Just said people in the congregation, "Well, just pray for whoever's standing up, just pray for them." And then we'd say, then a pastor would say, "Go to the doctor and see if there's anything changed." And they'd come back with a testimony. The doctor said, "Well, he can't find that now." He did find it, but he can't find that anymore. And we heard this all the time. And yet, as Pastor just said, about the only difference in us and any other church is we just pray that prayer that Jesus said pray. We just prayed, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your lordship be established." That's what it means, hallowed be your name. "Your kingdom come, hallowed be your name." Amen. We just prayed that. And we prayed it a lot. And we did. We started early in the morning. About 5 o'clock, we started praying until about 8 o'clock in the morning. We just kept praying. And just kept praying, praying, praying. "Your kingdom come. Your will be done." Oh, we got... Listen, you won't have to pray about your will. Amen. You don't need to pray about that. You will pray about His will. Yes, 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 yes. I'm glad we had that talk. It helped me to get started again back on this same track. Back on this same track. I'm just back on it again. And I'm not gonna forget it this time. I'm gonna keep praying this prayer right here in this church. What needs to happen? His will.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. What needs to happen in this in your life? His will.
His will. That's right.
What needs to happen in this country? His will. His will. Amen. What needs to happen all over the world? Well, you know what? It says, the kingdoms of this world are ultimately going to become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. That's the will of God. And when the church starts praying that, we're setting up the appropriate conditions for that to happen. And when we set up those conditions through our prayers, you see, we're saying we want Your will done, not our will, Your will done, Lord. We've set up things then for God to do because of the free will, see? We have free will, and God doesn't impose His will upon us. Amen. He doesn't say, well, you're going to have it this way whether you like it or not. No, no. He doesn't do it that way. He could. He's got power to do it. He certainly has the authority to do that, but that's not the way He does it. He waits for us to pray. Amen. You remember it. You were over there. And that's the only difference that we can think of. We're studying and thinking about what was happening there. Not one thing other than this prayer. This prayer was what we prayed. Our Father, not my Father,
our
Father. Amen. You've got to be look at that person that you don't have much of a relationship with, and you've got to say, you got to pray, our Father. He'll answer the Presbyterian just as quick as He'll answer the Pentecostal, who says, our Father. Amen. It won't make any difference about what church they're a part of. We can all say and pray, our Father. Our Father. You see, sometimes we Pentecostals think we kind of got a little bit of our own place to get in there, and we have a little closer relationship than others. I was reading in Franklin Graham's book recently where a couple of missionary ladies were building in Africa, in a very remote place, building a hospital. And one day, Franklin heard her praying, Lord, we need $3,355 by so-and-so. He just happened to hear her praying that. One day before it was needed, a letter came through the mail, and it's not easy back in those areas, but it came. You know what the check was for? $3,355, and the only one she ever talked to was Jesus. She didn't talk to anybody else about it. She just talked to Jesus about it. Presbyterian, by the way. Amen. Just a prayer. Oh, well, the Lord said, I am not going to pay any attention to those people. They're not even Spirit-filled. No, no, no. It doesn't matter who it is. I'm talking too long.
No, it's all right. It's all right. Listen. Now, let's do this. So many of us are so worried about our finances. Rhonda and I, this week, we got a financial surprise, and not in a good way. How many of you have ever gotten a financial surprise not in a good way? You gotten one? Some of you are in the middle of a horror, you feel like, financially. But instead of us wringing our hands and worrying and starting to spew a bunch of ungodly stuff and doing like Rhonda said, get on the what-if train. Holy moly, dude, you do not want to get on that train. And that was a great word because I had to learn to get off of that train because I used to be a regular passenger on it. Well, what if this happens? And boy, then that could happen. And then that could connect to this. And then what if this happened? And the next thing you know, you've ended up in a totally desolate situation in your mind, and it's hopeless. And that's the way the enemy has stolen your faith. And so right now, right here, what we're going to do, just in the presence of the Lord, I want you to think real quickly about what your financial need is. Just think. Just think about it real right here for just a second. Now, we're not going to get on the what-if train. Let's start praying. Because the Lord said, give us this, we should pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay? Now, when you're praying that, you're praying over a specific day as well. You may be praying for a need of something you need, but you're going to have to learn to trust God. This is where the rubber meets the road. God is either Jehovah Jireh or he's not. One of the two. It's no in between. He either is or he's not. So right here, while you're thinking about your financial need, you're not getting on the what if train, let's just pray right now. Okay, let's pray. Father, you said that we should pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And Lord, as I sit here and think tonight, honestly, I could bring these needs up to you. Lord, the foundation on my old home needs to be fixed. And Father, I don't have it. And whatever your need is, just talk to him. And Father, this is the amount that it is, and this is where it's at. And Lord, I'm not rehearsing things to get into fear. I'm bringing this to you. Father, that is nothing to you to work that out. I bring this to the altar. And I just say, Lord, I trust you to supply this need in my life. And I trust you to do it in the way you're going, that you know is best, according to your wisdom. And I ask you for it, Lord, because you told me to ask. But now after I ask, I'm going to thank you because you are the God of my provision. And Lord, I praise you for meeting that need in my life at the right time and the right way. And Lord, I rest in you and rest in your care and your love. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do it in Jesus' name. I give you praise. Thank you for supplying that, Lord God. Thank you. Now let's take a moment just to thank him. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you. This is where you're embraced by love instead of fear. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you care about me, that you love me, that you said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you till the end of the age. And Father, I praise you that you're involved in my life in every area. And Lord, I cast this off in Jesus' name and put it on your shoulders. And I give you praise for meeting that need in Jesus' name. And we give you thanks, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that sure beats laying awake at night and worrying about it. So the Lord's teaching us. He's teaching us. You know? Now let's do this, okay? There's some people that have been tormented by things that they've done and they just can't get past. Maybe it's been a recent thing, even since you've been a Christian, and you feel like you've made a bad choice. And you feel like that choice is just dictating a bunch of things in your life. Okay? Well, the Lord said that we're to come to him in this prayer and say, forgive us of our debts. Okay? And so let's just do that right now. Whatever in your life you need to bring to Jesus and put under the blood, let's do it right now. Father, you told us. You said to come to you, not run from you in shame or in like Adam and Eve did. But you said to come to you. And you said to ask you to forgive us of our debts. And Lord, I bring these situations and circumstances before you. I bring these things that I've done before you. And Lord, there's nothing I can do about it now other than ask for your forgiveness. Father, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I made bad choices. I made mistakes. And Lord, I'm just asking you that by your blood, you'll wash away my sin. Lord, I thank you that you're even working in my mistakes and even using them to bring glory to your holy name. That Lord, I don't have to fear, even when I'm paying consequences for a sin that I've committed. I don't have to fear that, God, because I know you can use that to be a testimony to your holy name. Help me to walk through this with grace. And Father, I choose not to hold anything against myself, because my judgment of this matter against myself, if it doesn't line up with your word, is demonic. I can't sit here and hold a judgment against myself when I've come before you honestly and truly and sincerely and asked for forgiveness. So, Father, I thank you that you have died for people who are imperfect, and that includes me. Thank you for the blood. I thank you for the blood of Jesus, my friend, the blood. My hope, the blood.
Yes.
Oh, God, I give you praise. I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you know, there was only one addendum attached to the prayer. And Jesus, he only attached one addendum to that prayer. And he said that if you forgive men their sins, I will forgive you for your sins. And really what the Lord's talking to us about there is not living in hypocrisy, not getting to the place to where we're willing to receive something that we're not willing to give away. And you know, when we live in unforgiveness toward other people, including ourselves, the only person that's being hurt out of that is you. That's why the Lord tells us to forgive, because it really has no spiritual benefit whatsoever. All right? Some people are actually deceived into thinking, if I don't forgive, then that's going to help me to never be abused again. That's going to mean that I will always be on my guard. It's going to be an assurity, that a protection of myself. And the only thing that's assuring is that you're walling things out of your life. That's the only assurance that you've got that is doing. And walling some things in, the hurt, the pain, the bitterness, and it can't escape. And so you're not going to lose your discernment just because you forgive. As a matter of fact, I always tell people, if you choose to forgive, your discernment will not get duller, it gets sharper. It gets sharper. You don't sit there and go, well, you know, I put my stamp of approval on bad behavior by forgiving. No, you don't. You don't. You're in agreement with the Word of God about it, but you know what? You're allowing yourself to walk free of other people's control. Because as long as you haven't forgiven them, you're still controlled by those situations and circumstances. They still have an effect in your life every day that you live. And so if you want to be free from that, then it's not that you need to go back and erase history, but it's you need to go and forgive. Because when you forgive, then you're cutting the ties that keep you bound. You keep your decisions and your emotions and all of those other things bound to that situation. Okay? So we're going to pray right now, and we're going to open ourselves up, and we're going to forgive, okay? And we're just going to do it right now. We're going to do it as an act of our will. And we're just going to say, God, I do this in agreement with you, because, well, I don't want to do it. Well, if you don't want to do it, then get to the place where you do. You know, ask God. Because when you get to the place where you really realize, when you're holding unforgiveness, the only person it's hurting is you, then you'll forgive. Okay? So let's just pray. Father, I lift up this person or these people to you. Just lift it up before the Lord. Father, I lift them up to you. And Lord, you know what happened. I don't have to tell you all about it. Father, you were there. You saw it all. You know what happened. And you know the effect that it had upon me, God. And you know what my response has been to that incident. And my response has been unforgiveness, Lord. That's been how I responded to that. So, Lord, I trust you to heal the pain. And I thank you for healing me. Just let the Lord heal you. Let him wash over you with healing. Just give him the hurt. Lord, here it is, Father God. Here it is, Lord. I don't need a person to heal me, Lord. You're my healer. Jesus, you took stripes to free me and to heal me from my brokenness. You were ridiculed so that I could have peace. I just receive your healing. And Lord, I choose now not to, I choose to free myself is what I choose to do. And I choose to do that by agreeing to forgive. Lord, if you're the God that I know you to be, then I can trust you with this situation. I can trust you with it. I can lay it down finally and let it go and let you deal with it, because you know exactly how it needs to be dealt with, and you will do that. And I lay down my desire for vengeance, because, Lord, that's just my way of trying to protect myself and make things right. And, Lord, I give up on that, and I choose to cling to the broken body of Jesus and the restored, resurrected life of Christ. And Father, I thank you. And I say, I forgive in Jesus' name. As far as that goes, Lord, I release any judgments, any desire for vengeance, and I give that to you, because that belongs to you. I can't take that myself. That's not my place. So, Father, I thank you for freeing me. Now let's just receive his freeing. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, help me to see this situation through your eyes and not my eyes. Oh, God, I don't want to be bound by my vision of this situation. I want to be able to see it the way you see it, and therefore to walk in the liberty that you have bought for me. And I give you praise for it, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father. I'm going to tell you, I had a person, a very significant person in my life. Well, I actually had two people in my life that I just had a hard time forgiving. One was my father. And some things had happened between my dad and I when I was growing up, and I just couldn't let them go. I mean, they just haunted me. They just stayed with me constantly. Another one was with my first wife. I'd had such unforgiveness. Not just, it was easier for me to forgive her, but she had an affair with someone else, and it was hard for me to forgive the other person, because they knew exactly what they were walking into. They knew she was married. They knew she had a husband. They knew she had children. And so I just couldn't get past it. And as a believer, I read the word, and I saw we need to forgive. And, man, my emotions were just screaming, no. No, we're not. We're not going to do that. And so if you're having that type of trouble, maybe this will help you. I just asked God one day. I got down and I said, man, my emotions have got to line up with this decision that I've made. And I said, but Lord, I can't do this. I have tried to make myself, and I can't make myself. And I said, Lord, all I can do is see these people through my eyes. I need to see them through yours. I must see them through your eyes. And it wasn't long until I got a vision in prayer. It didn't happen immediately, but it happened over time. I got a vision in prayer of both of those people individually that was a breakthrough point for me. That broke that stubborn emotional thing that I had that just didn't want to let go. And you know what? I began to see it through God's eyes, and I'll never forget it. In all of my life, it was such a life-changing event that still to this day, I still can plug somebody else into that situation that I'm having a hard time with, and it helps me tremendously. And so if that's for you, just ask God. Say, Lord, I need to see these people through your eyes. I'm just so bound with seeing them in my selfishness. I need to be able to see them through your eyes. And you know what? God will do whatever he's got to do, revelation-wise, to help you with that. Okay? Because if he sees that you're wanting to do it and you're moving in that direction, you've made a determination to do it. Well, I'm going to do it, but boy, I'm just something. Yeah, I need your help. Do you know God's in the people changing business? You can't change yourself all the time. You can make an appropriate decision, but you need God's help to change you, his power. And so try do that. If you're struggling, just do it. Say, God, show me them through your eyes because I need to be able to see them in that way. All right? And God will do it. Amen? He will. Yes, he will. He will. Well, you know, I just want us to, I'm believing God. One of the things that I'm believing God for is for us to be a praying people. A people that really seek the Lord and that really go after him. And if you really seek the Lord, then systematically, as you spend time with him, he will begin to break all of the misconceptions about God that you have. How many of you in this room tonight would be bold enough to say, you know, as where I sit right now in my relationship with God, I feel like I have misconceptions about who God is. I mean, some of the ways that I see him, I'm beginning to understand are not really the way he is. I struggle with misconceptions of who God is. Anybody else in here say, I struggle with that? Well, I just want to say to you, you know, continue to spend time in his presence because he will reveal those misconceptions and spend time in God's word and he will work those things out of you. I remember I had misconceptions about God all over the place when I first got saved. And, the more time I spent with him, he would just begin to reveal things to me. There was a time in my life when we were in Rockwall, man, I was praying every day, Pastor Bob. I got up. If there was one thing I caught was the prayer, and I wanted God, I got up and I prayed daily, daily, daily. And I got up one day and I was just as dry as a bone when I got up for my prayer time, just as dry, stressed, in pain. And you know what? I finally heard my first word from the Lord I'd heard in a while. And you know what he told me? He told me this. He said, I don't want you to get up and pray anymore for a while. And I was like, Lord, that can't be you. That's got to be the devil. You know what I mean? I mean, that's got to be you. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, no. He goes, you know what? I'm going to teach you that I love you, and it's not based on your performance. He goes, you think that you're just getting up. And, you know, that's not why we pray. And then I started praying again later with the right attitude. What's the right attitude? If I don't do it, God's not going to do anything. If I don't do it, God's going to be angry. If I don't do it, da, 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 da. Well, you know what? On that kind of track, you're headed for a lot of dry times in your prayer. God wants you to spend time with him because you love him. Amen. How many of you love God? Amen. It's not hard to spend time with somebody you love. You know? And so that's a whole motivation for me. I get up in the morning and I sit in that little old chair and pray in there in our bedroom and pray in the mornings, but I don't do it because, oh, if I don't do it, God's going to get me real good. I don't do it because of that. You know, because God's not going to get you because I'm going to tell you, life just has its own consequences built in. God doesn't have to stand around and get you. Yeah. But I want to pray because I love him and I need him and I want him. How many of you want God? You want him. Woo! Well, if you want him, you don't have to perform for it. You just go sit with him. Okay? So remember that in your prayer time. Don't get all legalistic with God. He is not a legalistic God. He is not that way. But move your motivation to, I love you, Lord, and I live on every word that comes out of your mouth. I live by feeling your presence. I live by praying your word over my life. I live through those things. That's my life. And when you get to that place, you're flowing out of the right motivation when you pray. And you don't necessarily, you may get up one morning and hear a bunch of stuff from God and feel His presence real strong. The next morning you may get up and not, but you sat there and you said, you know what? I'm not worried about that because He said He would always be with me. And His promise transcends feelings. It transcends feelings. But God knows that you are people. And He knows we are a feeling people. And I'm going to tell you, He will let you feel it at times. Okay? Because He knows that that's important to us at a level. But He's not going to fail us. And so we're moving toward becoming a praying people. All right? But when you get in your prayer time, rather than trying to convince God what to do or to tell Him how to do it or try to move Him by your tears or all of those manipulative types of things that we try to get into sometimes, let's just say, Lord, if this prayer was good, if this, praying this way was good enough for Jesus, then it's good enough for me. And just say, Lord, Your kingdom be established and Your will be done. One last thing I'll say and then we'll go. I've told you all this before, but I think it bears repeating. I used to have torments about my children. My children went through periods where they didn't walk with God. And they were adults and they're out there doing God knows what. Anybody can relate to that? And your mind gets on that what if train. You start thinking about where they could be tonight and what they could be doing and what could happen. And, you know, because this is a mean world and where are they tonight? And are they walking into a dark parking lot by themselves? And all those kind of thoughts can just eat you up. But I came to a breakthrough one night when the Lord spoke to me and He said, you don't have to worry about your children. He said, I love them more than you do. He said, I love them more. You know, it's almost like you're praying and you're trying to convince me to love your kids through your prayers and take care of them. He goes, I love them more than you do. And boy, that was a breakthrough point for me. And after that point in time, I didn't have any problem trusting the Lord really with my children anymore. Well, she went to that old club. You know what that parking lot's like. It's like, you know what? I don't care because the Bible says if they make their bed in hell, He'll be there. And He is strong and He is mighty and nothing is going to happen to them that's outside of my Father's will and designed for their life. Why? Because I am praying in agreement with God for them. Well, what about their free will? Well, let me tell you, their free will is working. God has mixed their free will together in that prayer. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but when you're praying, your kingdom come and your will be done, He's taking into account their free will and will actually use their own free will to bring them to a confrontation with Him. Just ask my mother. It happened in me. It happened with me. I said, I will not serve that same God that my mother serves. Well, I found out that God wasn't always like the one my mother served. But she just kept on praying. You understand? Some of you understand what I'm saying. That's why some of you didn't want to get saved. I don't want to serve the same God my parents served. I don't want to do that. And they're weird. And I don't want to be weird. And I understand that, but those prayers are powerful. They're very, very powerful. All right. Anybody got anything to say? We're going to give tonight, then we're going to go. Okay. All right. Well, if you want to give this evening, you need a help from the ushers, wave at them. All right, and they'll help you. If not, we'll give, and then we'll love on each other a little bit. And then we'll go home. Now, you prayed, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, so you know what you don't have to do? You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Seriously. Seriously. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Do you, Pastor Bob? You don't have to worry about tomorrow because you prayed. You prayed to the author of the universe and you said, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done. And you just don't have to be afraid about what's going to happen tomorrow. You can lay your head down on your bed tonight and go to sleep. Sleep sweet, because you know that whatever comes tomorrow is already put underneath the authority of Jesus. It's all underneath his authority. And you can trust him. You can trust him, okay? So, Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to be in your presence. And even in this moment of giving tonight, Lord, we give without fear. Because, God, you are all-powerful. And I thank you that you're watching over my house. And I'd rather have the blessing of God than $1 million in the bank. I'd rather have the favor of God than all the money in the world sitting in my bank account. And I thank you tonight that I am a recipient of your favor and I live in your favor. So, Lord, I give joyfully. I give not grudgingly. I give as part of my worship. This is part of my worship. Just as much as raising my hands or singing is. And so, Lord, I give this to you. Let it be a sweet-smelling sacrifice to come up before you. And, Lord, I thank you for all that you've done for me and all that you're going to do and your promises toward me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Well, after you've given, love on each other, and we'll see you later in the week. God bless you.